So today, the next couple of weeks, actually, we're going to be doing some what we call topical. So just stuff we feel in our hearts to share about. And I'm going to talk about lessons from the vine today. And I touched on this briefly in our series on church and local church. One of the pictures in Scripture of church is a vine and what that means. But I just felt to revisit that today. And so that's what I'm going to be looking at. So if you have a Bible, turn to Genesis 1 right at the start. You should find that easy enough. Genesis 1 verse 11, and it says this: "And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seeds according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds." And so we see something of the design of God, almost you could say the character of him, because how he's expressed is through this thing. He creates plants and trees and human beings that reproduce, that bear fruit, the process of which starts through a seed. And so we see a seed, a very small, insignificant little thing, which has so much power, God purpose, God destiny, God potential inside of it to produce fruit. And the purpose for us as Christians is actually to bear fruit within which lies the seed for reproduction, because people will come and eat of that fruit, and inside of it is seed which they then take in, and the thing of reproduction takes place. Does that make sense to you? And so there's no tree or no plant on the earth that consumes its own fruit. Is that okay? So none of us are called or are there to produce fruit for our own good or for our own benefit. The fruits that we produce are for edification of his body and for the expansion of his kingdom. And his kingdom is about authority in the lives and the hearts of men and women. Is that okay? So it's not for self-consumption. We are called to be fruit-bearing individuals within which lies the seed for reproduction of what he wants to do, and that's the way his kingdom is advanced. And so my slide, which you, if you use your imagination, can see there, is a big display of fruit. The magnificence of fruit. There must be 40 different types of fruit on that picture. And it shows something of God to me. It shows something of the magnificence of God. It shows something of the creativity of God. God in his essence is creative. He creates by speaking, but he creates in such diversity of color, shapes, sizes, fragrances. Have you walked past a fruit stall? In Mozambique, we find them next to the road. You can stop there. But you walk there and you can smell the differences. All of us have this amazing sense of smell. You can smell the difference between granadillas, a freshly cut granadilla, or a pineapple, or an apple, or a guava. It's distinct. And so God is, it's something of the fragrance of him, and so should our relationship with him be. Shouldn't be black and white, monotonal. It should be full of color and expression and fragrance so that people are drawn to it to consume the fruit of our lives. Is that okay? You look a bit shocked. There's power and potential in fruit and in seed, and we must bear fruit with seed in it for reproduction. And there's this thought: nothing is born mature. I've often wondered why God created us that way, that we are born to parents who know nothing about parenting as infants, and then you grow up, and then at the end of your life, you kind of know everything. Maybe it should have been the other way around, you know. So you start life full of knowledge and experience and understanding, and then you could do things well, but that wouldn't work either. But the point is, nothing starts its life mature. seeds, these insignificant little things. Wynand always used to talk about a millipip, one little millipip, little insignificant thing, brownish yellow in color, planted in fertile soil, and it grows into a massive plant who in itself will produce 4 or 5 millis. And if you count the numbers of pips on those millis, you see the thing of multiplication, which is part of the character of God and the God we serve. He's a multiplicational God, and he wants the seed of his word to come into our hearts and produce that kind of fruit for the glory of his name and the furthering of his kingdom. Is that okay? John 15:8. I'll keep going. When you bear or produce much fruit, he's talking to you and me as Christians. When you and I produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified. And that God is honored and glorified through our lives when we bear fruit. So we think, when we think seed of the parable of the sower, and it says, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God in some translations, is likened to a sower. So the issue is this: there's a man with a bag full of seed, and he comes and he plants the seed, or he casts the seed, and it falls on various places. And the analogy for you and me is, he's talking to us and he's saying the effect or the influence of his kingdom on our hearts and on our lives and on our fruit-bearing capacity and potential starts in seed. And he comes with his seed through words you'll hear through every Sunday. Someone will come and prepare the seed of God to pour into the hearts of our lives. But it falls in the parable on a couple of things, and he gives four examples. And when Leonard was here a couple of weeks ago, he spoke about that. And he said, the first one is what? Pathways. What's pathways? It's a way or a road well trodden. Speaks of my traditions or the way I do things. And so next week we're going to have a baptismal service. And some of us, when the word of God comes around baptism and the fact that it's believers' baptism, we'll say, no. When I grew up, I was taught that we do infant baptism, and so I'm not going to entertain this thought at all. And so that seed of God, which will produce fruit in your life, will fall on a pathway, and the birds of the air will take it up, and it'll produce absolutely no fruit in your life. And so that's one example, but there are many. When we get stuck in our ways, the way I used to do it, the way I used to do it when I was a kid, that's pathways. The second one is rocky soil. What's rocky soil? Well, the soil of my heart's got rocks and hardness. Hardness through what? Through offense, through disappointments, through life. And I don't deal with the issues in my life, and that seed will come and it'll take root in my heart, and it will start, but it'll be crowded out by the rocks. And what's the next one? Thorns and thistles, which are the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. You see, sometimes God will challenge you. Let me tell you, if you're serious about God and are serious about a walk with him, he will challenge you in ways which will affect your wallet. But the deceitfulness of riches will tell you, oh no, can't do that. And it will crowd out that seed, and it will never take root in your heart, and you'll never receive the fruitfulness or the blessing that comes from that seed having produced in your heart. The fourth one, it says in the parable, is good soil. And there it says it produces a crop, and it speaks about multiplication. But I want to say there's a fifth one. And excuse me for a minute this morning being a little bit graphic, but the picture is this. It's the seed of God. And if you're going to look at the word, it's the seed. It's like in human beings, where the seed comes and fertilizes an egg. It comes to cause reproduction in your heart. The process of bearing fruit is a process of reproduction. But today, we are so obsessed with me and my and how that we use spiritual contraceptives. I'd look a bit shocked, but it's true, because we love the intimacy And we want to be around places where there's intimacy, and we want to see and watch and be part of, but we never want that seed of God to impregnate our hearts so that it can take root and bear fruit in our hearts. And so we have this thing of spiritual contraception, and some of us need to just get rid of that, chemical or other means. And there's youngsters here, so I won't say more than that, but join the dots. But it's true, guys, it's true. We've got to say, I'm not after so much as the intimacy experience and was it good or wasn't it good, and go down that pathway rather than saying, let the seed of God come and impregnate me because it's going to bring about change, it's going to bring about reproduction in my heart and life. Is that okay? Got a bit off track there, but lessons from the vine. I had a privilege. My parents years ago bought a grape farm. Grape farm. It had 60,000 grape vines on it. It's the bane of my life. We were child labor. Still bear scars from it. Our holidays, when our friends went to the coast, we'd go and work on the farm, tending the grapevines. And so as a young kid, you kind of have a bit of a resistance to these grapevines. And then one day, the farm manager burnt fire breaks, and it burnt down, and secretly I rejoiced. Sorry, Mom, but that's a true confession. But the truth is, only years later did I certainly start to look at that and look at the scriptures around vines and say, wow, there's a deep understanding here that we can gain and glean from, which I learned there through those times. And so I want to look at some of those today. So lessons from the vine. Are we going to give up on this? I think so. It's useless. So John 15, verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes. This is amplified version, by the way. So that it will bear more fruit, even richer and finer fruit. And so there's some lessons for us to learn out of this morning. So the vine consists of various parts, which I so wish you could see. So I have a picture, which you won't see, but try and imagine this. Under the ground is a root system. And then just up above the ground level is where the graft takes place. So the bottom part under the ground is called the rootstock. And it has this very specific purpose. It's chosen for its endurance through difficulty and hard times, to be able to produce, take out of the soil the nutrients and everything that's needed to supply to the vine that it needs for growth and fruitfulness. That's what the rootstock is. So if you go to the Orange River Valley, we went years ago to go and row the Orange River, and there in the desert is these grapevines, these orchards, these vineyards, rather. And those specifically, the rootstock has been chosen to handle the extremities of the heat that's there, the drought, the occasional watering, etc., etc., etc. They are the best kind to supply the vine for the fruit it needs to produce, rootstock to supply everything it needs. And so the picture therein for us is that the rootstock that you and I get grafted into is Jesus Christ. And the responsibility for the nutrients and the supply of your life and my life does not lie with you. It lies with the rootstock. Is that okay? I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He will supply. Philippians 4:19. You see, it's his endurance. It's his supply. Through your hard times and bad, through the seasons of life, through the ups and downs, the comings and goings, there is a rootstock which is responsible and comes with promises of the God in heaven that he will supply all your needs. The second part is what's called the seen. So when they graft grapes into the rootstocks, they choose a cultivar for its potential growth and its potential fruitfulness. Get that? And so that's the picture for you and me. We are chosen because of the potential that lies within us, within the soil of our hearts, to produce fruit for his kingdom. And then he comes and grafts us in to the rootstock. Does that make sense? Selected for fruit-bearing potential, not existing fruitfulness. Get the subtleties. It's infantile at that point. The next thing is the graft union. And it's a union where two become one. And I had some lovely pictures. Oh, you can see a little bit. Huh? Everything. Good, Donnie. Romans 11, 17 to 18 says this: you do not supply the root, the root supplies you. Do you get what I was saying earlier? The rootstock supplies the rest of the vine. But you are grafted in, you are cut, you are added into, and there's a union that needs to take place. And for you and me, we need to make sure that we are in a union with Jesus Christ. Get grafted into him. And what does that look like? Well, in him when things go bad, in him when difficulty comes, go back to him who is your source of supply emotionally, physically, spiritually, and every other way. He is your rootstock. You are chosen for your potential to bear fruit and remain grafted into him. And in our previous series about church, it also means get grafted into your local church, because the vineyard is the worldwide body of Christ. But it's made up of individual vines, which in my view represent local churches. Get grafted in. You see, half a graft is no graft. It's a failed graft. And some of us today, and I see it all over, we even go to South City and they deal with the same things. People don't want to be grafted in. We have these things that pop out all over called offshoots. I don't want to stay within the confines of this thing that's going to produce marvelous and magnificent fruit. I want to try and do all these other things on my own. The graft, the union, the two becoming one is not complete and fulfilled. And it's a failed graft. Does that make sense? I hope so. Be part of him. What happens then is this seed grows up into what's known as the head. See the symbolism? Ephesians 4 tells us, we all grow up in every way into him who is the head. And so that seed, which is just a little thin shoot at its start, grows and matures through the years. Its bark comes and you got to pull it off so the bugs get away from stinging the plant and causing damage to it. But it grows and matures and grows up into the head, which is the top part where the vine branches out. That's the head. And we grow up over time in a process. It's not an instantaneous thing. Remember, it's seed and grafting. It's not mature plants. It's a thing that grows over time into this head. And the arms grow outward. See the symbolism. They create then what's called a cordon on the right, which is where all those buds are. And what's a cordon? Have you seen a cordon of police in a riot? You know what that is? It's a line where beyond you should not go. And the symbolism for me in this is there's a line below we should not go, because the responsibility for that, the supply, is not ours, it's his. And out of the cordon, out of those shoots, grow the branches, which is you and I, whose sole purpose in life is to produce fruit. Is that okay? Canes are the branches, those are the things. When you bear much fruit, you bring glory to my Father. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. So see it in the context of all I've just described to you. There's a rootstock that had a seed grafted into it. That graft took. They became one. You're now called part of the vine. You grow and mature up into the head, who is Christ. And out of him we grow shoots which produce fruit. But he says, I am the true vine, which means there can be false vines. If there's a true one, there can be false vines. And things that we want to tap into, that we want to rely on, that we want to put our trust and confidence in, other than the rootstock which is supplying us, is a false vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine. You want to bear fruit for me and my kingdom? Get grafted into me and grow and mature into me. Is that okay? The vine is the support structure of my life. It will bear fruit after its own kind. Then he goes on to say, the Father is the vine dresser. Who's the vine dresser? I wish you could see the magnificence of those pictures. Oh, gone too far. Anyway, let's forget that. The vine dresser. The vine dresser is the guy. Listen, let me go back to farm days. I learned very quickly that when you're given stuff to do and you don't like it, just mess it up. Because then you won't be asked to do it again, you know? Okay, it was just me that was like it. The rest of you are all saints, right? Yeah, no, I had lots of schemes, eh? Yeah, didn't like that job. But my mom used to go for weeks on end, up and down, pruning these things. You see, what does the vine dresser do? The vine dresser is the one who sees the big picture. He sees the next season. He sees where he's wanting to go. He sees in his mind's eye where the growth needs to be, where strengthening needs to happen, so that fruitfulness can be good and secure and complete. That's the vine dresser. And he comes and he does a couple of things. It says, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes repeatedly so that it would bear even more fruit. So we have a couple of complications in our intellectual minds with that conversation, right? He removes branches that do not bear fruit. And now the oak's going to say, oh, you're going to lose your salvation. Doesn't say anything about destroying or undoing the graft. What happens with, understand the reality, from the head grows the cordon out of which grow the branches. That's where it's happening. And he's saying, if you at that stage do not prepare or produce fruit, he'll cut it off. The reality is it's cut off and thrown away, yes, but next season it has another go. And if you see the reality or the analogy of the picture of Israel, they too never went back to Egypt. They lost their fruitfulness. They lost their potential inheritance. He skipped that generation. I love talking about this, but 600,000 men leave Egypt with the same promise, the same potential to enter. How many of us will fulfill those promises that God has for you and me? And the issue is, he skips you for a season. Have another go next season. But you have a choice. Bear fruit. Allow that seed to come and impregnate you so that it takes a hold of you and grows so that fruitfulness may happen. It's a fruitfulness issue, not a salvation issue. Get that. Understand that. The second one is pruning. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And it's like, isn't that the wrong way around? If I'm producing fruit for God, surely he's going to be happy with me and let me grow and mature? No, he's going to prune you. That's what it says. And what does it look like? Well, if you look at the pictures, and we can't now, you'll see in season, that thing from those branches goes absolutely ape. Those things grow uninhibited, wild in every direction, and bunches of grapes come out all over the place. It's spectacular to see after winter how that season changed and bam, there's fruitfulness. But when that season's done, it's cut back to the cordon. That's the picture. When we do bear fruit, he prunes us. He's shaping us, and his purpose is for us to produce more and better quality fruit season after season after season. That's the purpose of pruning. There's no prophet of doom connotations to pruning. God's plans and purposes in your life are always for multiplication, for betterment, for better fruitfulness. That's his heart, that's his desire for you and me. And so what does that look like? Say, pruning? What happened? Because you can take two pictures. The one is full of green, full of bunches of grapes. And the next one is a bare arm with these little nodules on it. That's it. So you go from the one extreme to the other. You experienced that in your life? I certainly have. It's going so well. Seemingly so much fruit. I think it is. Certainly, I think it's wonderful. God can see what I've done for him, what I've sacrificed, what I've offered up, the things that I've done. And wow, there's fruit in my life. People, you know, come and talk to you about how you did what you did. And suddenly, what happened? The season changes. The growth stops. The fruitfulness stops. It's like the wave stops. I've used this analogy a lot of times. I'll use it again, though. It's like you want to go surfing in the sea? You better make sure there's a wave, because otherwise you're going to frustrate yourself. You can be out there and wax your board, and you can have suntan lotion and your baggies and your best. Taste the salt, feel the heat of the sun. Ooh, I'm surfing. There's no wave. You're going nowhere. You need the wave of God. You need the season of God. You need the season of fruitfulness of God. And when it's not, when it's a season of pruning, you can try and stand up on your surfboard as much as you want. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to frustrate yourself. And it comes back to a reliance, because what happens in the season of pruning is the rootstock, it forces the vine to strengthen downwards. The rootstock shoots out. The stem grows bigger and stronger so that it can feed more, so that there's more fruitfulness in the next season. That's what happens. Hope you're getting that. Sometimes you say, "Oh, the lights switched off. Who switched the lights off? I was doing so well." And people will say, "Job's counselors." Have you ever had any of those? Job's counselors, there are lots of them. They'll come and give you very biblical counsel. "Oh, it's this and this and this and this, and you've sinned and you've..." No. They may have had biblical advice, but it's not applicable to Job. Have you had that in your life? You see, when there's a season of pruning, it's God's hand. God's all over it. And it's about your future. It's not about your current status or reality. It's about growing and maturing so that you can bear more fruit into the future. Make sense? Organic fertilizer. I'm going to end with this concept. What's organic fertilizer? I had a very nice slide. When you mix green stuff, so they take a mulcher, chipper, and all the stuff that's cut off, put through there, and it chips it into organic matter, green stuff. And you mix that with brown stuff, which generally comes out of the rear end of a cow or similar. And you add some water and put it in the sunshine and give it time, and it miraculously produces this thing called organic fertilizer. You see, fruitfulness depletes the soil. And it's the same for you and me. Fruitfulness will deplete the soil of your heart and my heart. It draws out, it sucks out, it takes effort. It needs to be replenished. And we can get into an whole argument about, synthetic fertilizers. And there's nothing like organic. Synthetic for a season will give you fruitfulness, but it depletes other things, and eventually that soil will be barren. You can plant nothing in it. It's the organic stuff. And what's the picture for you and me? Well, I'll tell you what it is. We need to take the growth. And here's the point. We get proud of our growth, don't we? We get proud of our fruitfulness. We almost find our identity in it as Christians. Can you see this? What I've done for God, what He's doing in my life. And we can find our identity in that. But you know what? That season's going to come to an end. And the growth, that last season's growth and identity needs to be put into a chipper and chopped up and mixed with some brown stuff. And people come talk to me and they say, yes, I had such a fruitful season, but suddenly the lights are switched off and there's a whole lot of brown stuff coming my way in my life. Let's call it moo-poo. And I say, well, good, because if you allow it to be mixed with the remains of last season's growth, none of that will be for nothing. And that's Romans 8:28. All things will work together for them who love God and are called according to His purposes. And according to His purposes, take all of that, the growth, the identity, the fruitfulness, the magnificence, the boasting that you had, all of that doesn't matter. Chip it up. Mix it with some moo-poo that's coming your way. Chuck water on it. Put it in the sun and give it time to settle, and then allow the Lord to work it into the soil of your heart. Because I tell you what will happen. When the season changes, there will be replenished soil in which much fruitfulness can be born and produced. A magnificent harvest for the Lord, for the glory of His name and the furthering of His kingdom. So if we join those dots, seed, you see, in the fruit we produce, there's seed. But we're going to need to go through some of these things. And it's not those who don't produce fruit that'll be pruned. If you do produce fruit, you'll be pruned. You know, there's some guys, won't mention your names, but you know, successful business for many years. Suddenly the lights have gone off. It's going to take time. Get in the sunshine of the Son of God. Allow Him to illuminate for you in your reality. The brown stuff that's floating around and the remnants of last season's growth, mix it in, allow it to decompose, and allow Him to work it into your heart. All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. I don't know where I am in this. John 15:5. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, he's cut off from vital union with me and can do nothing. It's amplified. Remain in me. Remain in me. In springtime, remain in him. In wintertime, remain in him. Remain in the graft. Strengthen the root system in the unseen places. Strengthen it so that when the season changes, there's strength, ability, potential to produce the fruit that it must. You're being pruned. You had a season of bearing much fruit and suddenly it's gone. Where is it? Can we just see the hand of God? All things work together for good for them who love the Lord and according to His purposes. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. We sing these songs that your goodness is running after me, and sometimes I think we can have prosperity mindset around these things, that if it's your goodness, then it's only good things. But for us in a human condition, like we've learned from a picture of a vine, there are seasons, there are times of pruning, specifically when we are and have been fruitful. That you will come and prune back our lives so that things may be changed more into your likeness and image, Jesus, so that we may bear better fruit for the glory of your name. Help us to gain a heavenly perspective, Lord, on your goodness. That is not only for now, the next season and the next season and the next season of better growth, better fruitfulness. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to hold on to the truth of your word, even in the times when we feel like giving up. Give us the strength, Lord, and the cognizance to stay in the graft. We're grafted into you, Jesus, and you say without you we can bear no fruit. We give you glory today, Lord. Amen.